today as we come to the table.
God kept working in his heart saying, that's right, you know what? You may actually have to leave your family behind. Notice it said there, get out of your country from your kindred and your father, not just your family, but even your cousins and relatives. The whole society there in Ur was corrupt, you see. And God knew that in order for Abram to start a new life, he had to get out of that environment and he had to get away from those who were pulling him down. God is saying the same thing to some of you. And that is, you've got to get out of the environment you're in. If you're going to fully commit to the Lord, you've got to get out of that environment that is constantly pulling you down, constantly drawing you into sin. You've got to get away from those friends and, yes, maybe even some family that are keeping you from where God wants you to be.
Even though we have our own plans and goals that we want to achieve, God has a different opinion of us. He has a brighter future plan for us that exceeds our ultimate dream. However, due to various distractions, we frequently fail to see God's plan in our lives. Something always seems to hold us back because the enemy does not want you to succeed. He brings distractions in the form of friends, earthly desires, and even family members. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark tells you in today's message how God wants you to leave all your distractions behind and follow him with all your heart. Do you wonder who or what's holding you back today? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 11 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
A very wealthy society that's very religious. Does that not describe the nation we live in today? A very wealthy society, a very religious society, except as you know and I know, religion does not save you. And religion does not get you into heaven. Now, there is a good religion. Biblical religion, the Bible says, is taking care of orphans and widows. And there is a biblical explanation to religion that works right. But the majority of what we call religion today is simply man's attempt to reach God, trying to make God happy, trying to reach up to God. That's man's attempt. That's religion. Whereas relationship is God reaching down to man and saying, I want to know you intimately. I want to know you personally. And so when we see a religious society, it does not necessarily mean a righteous or saved society or society that's going to be entering into heaven. Religion doesn't do it. You know, it's interesting. Maybe some of you heard this. Elton John came out and said that he wishes that all religions around the world would be banished and that you do away with religion. Now, as a believer, when you first hear that, you know, it kind of, you say, wait a minute. Hey, who's this? You know, what's going on? What do you mean? You know, this? But then you begin to think about it. And as I begin to think about it, I say, you know what? In a strange way that he wouldn't understand, I agree with him. And it's only to this extent. What he's saying is I wish Jesus Christ would be done away with. But understanding that religion and Jesus Christ are not always linked, I just wish religion in the sense of man's desire to work his way to God would disappear and it would all be relationship. Because it's relationship with God that saves us. It's relationship with God that brings us into a meaningful and eternal salvation with God. So again, you're a very religious society. And we see now we get some further background of what Abraham was dealing with. Abraham being here, he probably grew up in a wealthy home. It was a very wealthy place. His family was very religious, but unsaved, as we'll see in just a moment. And so many of you may have that background. You may say, hey, I understand that completely. I grew up in a home where my family was very religious, but they were unsaved. They went to church on a regular basis. They did all the religious things, but they didn't know Christ. Abraham knows where you're coming from. Abraham can associate with you. And so don't feel like you're the only one or that it's never happened before. This has been going since the beginning of time. And Abraham had to deal with unsaved family and friends the same way that many of us have had to deal with unsaved family and friends. And we're going to see that God called him out of it. And we're going to see that he eventually responded. But we're going to see again, as we said earlier, he didn't start out doing the best in that whole process. Notice in verse 29, it says, then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. Now, we don't hear anything really more to speak of as far as Iscah and Milcah here in this passage, but there's a name you should recognize, and that is Sarai. And this is the same person that eventually became Sarah. So Abram went to Abraham, Sarai went to Sarah, and God is the same one that changed her name as well because God saw what she was going to be. Now, it's interesting. God spoke to Abraham on a regular basis, and Abraham would go home and tell his family what they were saying, his family, his servants. And you know, it doesn't say that God spoke to Sarah. It doesn't say that God spoke to the servants. It says God spoke to Abraham, and then Abraham would go home and tell them, and certainly his testimony went before him. They knew that he was a godly man, but can you imagine wondering what he's going to come home with today? You know, what's he going to say today? And so again, you know, it's interesting here with his name meaning, if you will, exalted father. Now her name, Sarai here, starts out meaning my princess, and it's referring to the name of her earthly father that he gave her. And you can imagine, those of you that have little girls, you look at them, there's my princess, you know, and well, let's call her that. Let's call her my princess. All right, that's her name, my princess, Sarai. And so there she is, you know, daddy's girl, so to speak. But God sees her, and see, she's not just daddy's girl on a personal basis. She's father's girl. She's God's girl that God's going to use in much greater ways. And so now the time comes, and God says, I'm going to change her name. We'll see that later on. But again, he changed her name to Sarah. Now, it's interesting. The word Sarah means princess. Now, the word Sarai means my princess. Notice the personalness to it. This is my little girl. This is my princess. God says, yes, right now, but she's going to be a princess in the world. And I'm going to use Sarah as an example to all women throughout time of what to me I see as a princess. See, Abraham was given as an example to us as men. And that is leading our families in righteousness, taking the spiritual leadership and saying, all right, God, you called me. I'm going to answer. I'm going to go, and I'm taking my family with us. Abraham is an example to all men throughout time, around the world. Sarah is an example to women. And God says, she's my princess. She was yours, but now she's mine, and I'm going to use her as an example. And so some of you women are saying, well, wait a minute. We're seeing Abraham. We're going to see Abraham a lot here and what it is that God wants men to be like, God, men of faith, that is, following and doing as God calls us, even going into unknown places and following the Lord. But what about a woman? What is a woman supposed to be like? Now, we know there are certain verses, but and we don't have time to get into it today, but if you want to see what is considered to be a princess before God, read 1 Peter chapter 3. Because in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks about Sarah and the way that Sarah dealt with her husband. And so you say, Lord, I want to be a princess before you. I want to follow that example. 1 Peter 3 is the one to go to. And so any woman who lives that way before God is considered a princess. Incidentally, God says that all of us are kings and priests, doesn't he? The Bible says that because of that, we need to walk worthy of that. And so that's what we see here in this naming of Sarah. God steps in and says, yes, you're his princess, but you're going to be mine. And I'm going to use you as an example to all the world and to women for generations to come. And so we have, if you will, the pieces now put together for the foundation leading into this next portion of scripture. Now, again, notice here, and he talks about in chapter 12 here, as he gets into verse 1, notice what it says. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, note that. If you're an underliner or a Bible circler, then circle the word had, because this is key right here. You see, what this shows us is that God had spoken to Abram sometime earlier, but Abram had not heeded the call. Notice he told him earlier, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. God had given the call to Abraham, this great man of faith, and Abraham had not listened to the call. Now, why is that significant? Because some of you today may be listening to this and saying, you know what? I've heard the call of God, but I've not answered it either. I've always made excuses as to why I can't give my heart to the Lord, or as a believer, maybe why I can't fully commit. Abraham knows what you are going through. He was there. And again, what should be encouraging to us in this is because Abraham is known as the man of faith. He's the example of faith in all the scriptures. And if Abraham blew it, sometimes, and Abraham wasn't the man of faith he always needed to be, that's encouraging to us. Not that it's okay, and not that we should try not to have faith. I'm not saying that. But God said, you know what? I'm going to work with you. And even in small steps of faith, if you'll just take small steps, I'll take you to greater. I'll take you to larger. And what we're going to see in Abraham is, no, he didn't do everything right, but he did eventually take small steps of faith, and God rewarded that. And it also shows us God's grace and God's mercy and God's patience. You could have said, you know what, I spoke to Abram and he didn't respond, so I moved on. And then there could be another verse that said, so I called, you know, whoever, Josiah. And now he'll be the father of nations. No, God says, I see what I'm going to make you, Abram, and I see your heart and your willingness to obey me and follow me, and I'm going to change you, and I'm going to work in your life, and I'm going to bring you where you need to be. Now, let's be fair to Abram for a minute, not taking up for his sin, not in the least. But Abram had a lot of pressure on him. Abram lived in a very pagan culture. We now know from the excavations of Ur of Chaldees, as I said, there were multiple gods. They worshiped other gods. They didn't have the true God. He lived probably, as I said, it was a wealthy area, which means he probably came from a wealthy family. And all of a sudden, from the midst of this wealthy family, this pagan family, where he was probably involved in the worship as well until he was saved of these other gods, God gives him a call. And all of a sudden he realizes, wait a minute, I'm hearing God to come out, to not be like my family, to not be like my friends, to not be like Ur of Chaldea around me and to do something different. There would have been a lot of pressure on him, especially at the very beginning. And so we don't know for sure what it was as to why he was disobedient in leaving the first time, but it might be, and probably one reason was because he was putting his family above God. Now, guys, this is a warning to all of us. And that is, you know what, wait a minute, this is my family and we live here. And if I leave, they're going to reject me and they're going to think I'm crazy and they'll think I'm some religious fanatic. Oh, you heard from God. Yeah, God spoke to you and God said you're supposed to go do this. They're going to think I'm crazy. I can't do this, my family. You see, at that point, he was too immature and didn't have enough heart to sacrifice what was needed to fully do it. And he delayed it. But God kept working in his heart saying, that's right, you know what? You may actually have to leave your family behind. Notice it said there, get out of your country from your kindred and your father, not just your family, but even your cousins and relatives. The whole society there in Ur was corrupt, you see. And God knew that in order for Abram to start a new life, he had to get out of that environment and he had to get away from those who were pulling him down. God is saying the same thing to some of you. And that is, you've got to get out of the environment you're in. If you're going to fully commit to the Lord, you've got to get out of that environment that is constantly pulling you down, constantly drawing you into sin. You've got to get away from those friends and yes, maybe even some family that are keeping you from where God wants you to be. And you know what? You've got to come to that place where you say, you know what? I've got to make a decision here. Is my family more important than God? Are my friends more important than God? Is what I want more important than God? Or is God everything in my life? You see, by leaving your family, it meant you had to leave the support from your blood relatives. It meant you were forfeiting not only your inheritance, but your future security. Even your earthly identity, your family name meant so much back then. And the bottom line is, this was not only a step of faith, this was a sacrifice for Abram. And you've got to understand, God gives us the call of Abram as well. But he says, you know what? There may be some things you have to sacrifice. Now, in the Jewish culture and in the Arab culture, they literally lose their families. As a matter of fact, the Jews go so far, if you turn away from Judaism and you turn to Jesus Christ, they have a funeral. They buy the casket, they gather the friends, and they bury it. And they consider you dead to the family. They still do that today. And so the point I'm saying is that, understand, Abram had to make a real sacrifice. Many of us do not have that real sacrifice, but the question is, how much would we sacrifice to follow God? Oh, you know what? Okay, I'll go so far. I'll say the prayer, and then I'll go to church once a week on Sunday. I'll do that, but don't ask for more, God. And then God says, no, I want more. What do you mean you want more? I want your life. I want your life. You've got to repent. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to turn from it before you even can be saved. But then once you do that, he says, now I want everything. I just don't want Sunday morning or I don't want something religious. I want you. And he says, well, what else, Lord? What do you want? Well, look at your family. What do you mean? Well, hey, my family is not walking with God. Don't get me wrong. This doesn't mean that we abandon our families. I'm not saying that we're supposed to, as Christians, turn away and never have anything to do with our unsafe family. That is not what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, as believers, we should love our unsafe family and friends more. Because now we know their need for Jesus. We can pray for them. We can share with them. We can witness to them. But here's what the principle is. He's saying, look, if they are before me, if the family and friends are before God, and if they're pulling you down, you've got to leave them behind. Okay, you've got to leave your family. But Lord, I leave. You got to go. They'll think I'm crazy, Lord. You got to go. And so one day you go to your family and say, I've given my life to Jesus Christ, and I want to share with you what I know now. And they go, oh, you got this religious fanatic, whatever. And in essence, you see, you've left your family. Now, you've still got your family and physical body, but the tie's been broken there as far as that closeness and that intimacy because now they see you as something different. And you think, okay, God, I can do that. I can do that for you. I'll still see them, of course. We'll visit each other. We'll be together for the holidays. We just won't really communicate good. They won't understand me. I won't understand them, but God, you're worth it. I want that, Jesus. I want that. He says, but you're not done. What do you mean I'm not done? He says, well, you've got these friends. Lord, what about my friends? Well, a lot of your friends are living in sin, and you're hanging out with them, and they're pulling you into sin. You see, you're not being a witness to them in sin. You're not sharing with them. You're simply hanging around with them, and they're pulling you away from me. They're making you ungodly, and I want you to leave them behind. You mean leave my friends behind? But Lord, I grew up with these guys. I mean, these are my friends. Do you want me, Abram? Yes, Lord, I want you. Then leave it behind. And a choice has to be made. I'm leaving it behind. And then he says, all right, good, that's it. All right, I've put God before my family. I've put God before my friends. Let's get on with this thing called a walk. Excuse me, wait. What? What, God? You're not done yet. What do you mean I'm not done yet? No, you see, there's things in your life that you need to change now, that you need to repent of, that I want you to walk now with me in holiness and turn away from every sin in your life. But I'm not sinning that much, God. I mean, the biggies I've gotten rid of. I mean, most of the big stuff is gone. He says, no, I want all of it. I want you to turn from all of it and be fully and completely and totally committed to me, turned away from that. And then we have the choice to make, all right, Lord, I not only have to lay down my family and my friends, I have to lay down myself. And that's probably the hardest for us to do, is to lay down ourselves. But Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to die to self daily. Take up your cross and follow. And this is the call that God was giving to Abraham. He's saying, Abraham, you've got to do this. And let me say this, there's a lot of times these situations happen and it doesn't make sense. We're like, God, how could this make sense? Why would you want me now to be alienated from my family? Please let me be clear on this. I am by no means advocating some type of physical separation from unsafe family or whatever, saying we can't see them anymore. I mean, that's cultish. What I'm talking about is there is going to be a separation now in relationship, because now you're going to be walking in light and now they're going to be walking in darkness and they're going to think that you're crazy. Jesus, his own family thought he was crazy. His brothers showed up and they thought he was crazy. They said he was demon-possessed. Now, if Jesus was accused of being demon-possessed because he had a serious walk with God, him being God himself, where does that leave us? Don't be surprised when your family and friends think you've gone off the deep end. No, as a matter of fact, what you've done is you now have light in your life and now you're walking with the Lord. But you might be thinking, you know what, there are things that happen in my life, and Lord, why would you call me to get away from these friends and get away from my family and go to a new place? I don't understand it. Let me say this, God deals with us a lot like a puzzle. And I don't know if many of you are puzzle makers. I don't know if you've ever made puzzles or done that. But if you throw a puzzle down, and I'm not a big puzzle maker, but I have done a few puzzles. If you throw the puzzle down, every piece that's needed to complete the picture is there, but you just can't see it yet. And so God begins to say, you know, we begin to take the border and put the border of the puzzle on, and then we begin to work in and look for things that match in certain colors. And then as it begins to fill in up in one corner, you know, we lay the foundation, we can begin to see, oh, there's a tree and that's a dog and here's the flowers, and it all begins to come together, you know, this kind of thing. Or, you know, for me, it's, you know, it's Cookie Monster and there's the other part of him and that big wooden puzzle thing. I wasn't good at puzzles, but anyway, you begin to put all the pieces together and all that, and suddenly it begins to, now I'm starting to see this thing. God, I realize now why you called me to get away from those things and those influences in my life. Although I felt like I loved them so much, I realized they were pulling me away from you and you had so much more for my life. I'm beginning to see the picture. But then as we walk on with the Lord, after that first initial step of faith, sometimes the picture's confusing, even as all the pieces begin to come together. You know, there's those pieces, those remaining pieces in puzzles sometimes that you're convinced they really don't go with that puzzle. You ever done that? You ever seen that? They don't go. Somebody snuck them in the box. They don't belong there. This is a practical joke from the factory, you know, and they put them in there just to drive you crazy so that you can sit there and go, this doesn't work, and you try to force them, you know, and you kind of get that edge that pushes up, you know, and you'll say, it doesn't go there. Here's the point. There are times in our life where we have certain pieces. We say, there's no way this could fit into God's plan for me. There's no way. This, God somehow forgot me. Somehow I've gotten out of his plan. Somehow I'm off track. God says, trust me. Every piece is going to fit in my timing. And you know what happens? As you continue to work with that, eventually you find one that goes in and then they all begin to fall together, don't they? And God says, you may not understand everything now, but all the pieces of the puzzle will eventually fall into place. And that is God's desire for us. As we take that small step of faith, he now calls us into greater steps. And there are a lot of things we don't understand. A lot of things that, well, quite frankly, we're puzzled about. But the bottom line is, the more time we wait on God and see where it fits in, God shows us, and then we can look back and say, I see why you did that. I didn't understand it then. It made no sense to me. You didn't abandon me. You didn't stop loving me. I see what you did, and now it makes sense. And that's exactly how God is going to deal with Abraham, giving him piece by piece and making his life come together a little bit at a time. And so, again, it's important to point out, as we said, that when Abraham started out, this great man of faith, as we know him, he lacked faith. He told him to go, and Abraham didn't. And now we see he had said to Abraham, come on, he calls him again. I've already said it once, Abraham. I'm saying it again. And some of you heard the call of God on your life, whether you're a believer and you're not doing what God has asked you to do, or whether you're an unbeliever and God is saying you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your sins. You need to turn from it and follow me. And so, you know, and you've lacked faith, and God is saying once again to you, he's saying, you know what? I see your life. I see the sin you're involved in. I see what you need to do to repent and to turn and to come to me. And I'm giving you the call again. I'm giving you that example. Abraham now is getting his call again, and he's going to grow as a man of faith as God continues to work in his life. And so notice he says here, but leave both your family and your relatives and your land. That is, get away from anything that would hinder you. Now, again, how do we know that his family was unbelievers? This was Abraham in the midst of a family of unsaved people. So if you've been there, he knows what you felt like. How do we know that? Joshua 24:2 says this, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, that is in Ur of the Chaldees, and note this, and they served other gods. So now we find out that his family, they were pagan. They weren't believers. We would say today they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They hadn't committed their life to the Lord. And again, they had to leave the land because it was a corrupt society. And he knew that if he stayed in the land as well, he would have all those influences. And the bottom line is this. We have to be serious about our lives and what we're going to remove from our lives and what we're going to do if we're truly going to be able to follow Christ. Understand, following Jesus is more than saying a prayer. It's confessing sin. It's repenting. That means turning from sin. And then it's receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord. That's salvation. That's what the gospel's about. And that's what it takes not only to be saved, but to walk with Jesus Christ. And so God may be giving some of us a call here today. God may be ministering right now to your heart and convicting you. Maybe you put your family above the Lord. Maybe you put your friends above the Lord. Maybe you put finances and things. Listen to what it says in Matthew 10:37. Jesus speaking said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Wow. He's saying, if you love your family more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. He goes on in the verse and says, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I love my girls. I love my wife. But the Lord says, if I love them more than him, I'm not worthy of him. That's heavy. And that makes me look at my own heart and say, Lord, where am I? How deeply is my love? Would I really even leave my own family for you, Lord? Would I really do that? Lord, would I really count you greater than even my own children? Again, you would never abandon your children. That's very obvious, not my point. But I'm talking about putting God first in everything. How many of you, if you saw your child lying in a hospital bed, wouldn't take their place and die for them? And yet God says, your love for me has to be greater than that. Abraham, I want it all. I don't want half-hearted. I don't want part of it. I want full devotion. I want full commitment. I want full fire. I want everything you've got, Abraham. I don't want you to hold anything back. Family, relatives, friends, everything. I've got to come first. And so that's the challenge he gives to Abraham, but it's also the challenge that he gives to us as well. And again, it is important to point out here before we go on that Abraham did finally obey. We see that after this verse where God says again to Abraham, get out of there. We see that Abraham did finally obey, but it was only partial obedience because it tells us that he went to Haran. And he stayed in Haran the first time he was there in Haran. He only partially obeyed. And now God calls him and he goes full steam. We're going to see now he moves on into the promised land.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn. The next time we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.